upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. All right, our 100th episode extravaganza rolls on with part two. We got William Balmer, who is the director of sales and marketing at Brunswick Bank and Trust, aka Dad, aka Pop, joining us today on this episode. What's going on there, Pop?
How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be seen. there's a really funny little thing they did on Saturday Night Live recently, which is they show this family and, you know, like most families, like you really don't talk about a lot of stuff. But then suddenly, like, they put out this little podcast setup and like the father and son go down and have this like really deep, serious conversation because suddenly they're on a podcast. So it's like the magic of the podcast microphone. So when I saw that, I think it's funny because like I don't know if it's like your generation or how you were raised or something, but like you're sort of the era of where like you don't really talk about a lot of stuff, right? Like you just kind of like do stuff and don't like talk it out, right? Would you say that's true or not?
Not.
I mean, do you talk about how you feel a lot?
Not much.
Yeah. All right. So sweet. So now that we have this magic podcast microphone out, we can like get real deep into your feelings, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So we talked about Gabby a little bit about having a young child, and you had the flip side of that is you had a child when you were young, but you were also serving overseas in Vietnam.
That's right. I was so desperate to get away from the situation that I went to Vietnam. Yeah.
But, That's yeah.
You're not recording this, are you?
No,
never. Well, let's back up a little bit. You grew up in Shrewsbury, New
That's
Jersey,
right?
You went to RBR. We'll lay the groundwork.
Briefly.
And then you transferred over to a fine institution known as Croydon Hall Academy.
That's right. My father thought it was a fine institution, but little did he know. No, it was a great place to go to school. It really was.
So why did you leave RBR?
I was flunking out. My mother was back on the cigarettes.
You stressed her out.
Yeah, I'll never forget my mother picking me up after, you know, I got my first report card. And, you know, she was, you know, looked like something out of a bad movie or whatever. And she was just lost it. And that went on for about 2 years. And then they finally pulled the cord. So
it's funny. So, like, my memories of... Like, I think my grandmother, your mother, like a lot of moms was like also like your biggest cheerleader. So like my memories of like going over there was like she was always showing us like – so my memory, like my image of you in high school is like grandma showing me the clippings of like you were quarterback at – was it RBR or Croydon Hall? I don't remember.
Croydon Hall.
Croydon Hall. All right. So she'd show us like pictures from the Red Bank Register of you, you know, playing football. And so in like – the way it was told to me, like you were a star football player, of course.
My little Billy. Yes. So, yes, we had a special relationship.
Right. And then, like, so, yeah, going back, like, you grew up playing accordion.
Of all things, right? Yes. My mother idolized Dick Contini. And So she made me play the accordion. Yes.
So her dream was to raise a little dick contini.
Right. I'm not sure, but I'll take your word on
perhaps.
It.
Yeah. So you used to, so that's interesting. And then, so was that your introduction to musical, like to music? Was the family musical?
No, well, my parents were very big on the radio. Was all, they came out of that generation and listened to music all the time on the radio.
Right.
And my dad loved music. You know, he loved to be in shows and sing and dance. And it seems hard to imagine. My dad was a pretty big guy, but he loved that stuff. And they loved to dance and all that. So there was always music in the house.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to do something.
Right. So then you eventually graduated into out of the accordion and got interested in that dreaded rock and roll. So what was your
garage band?
This is going to be a long one.
It was great.
What are your first, like, how did you get into, what are some of the like early music discoveries you made? How'd you get into music?
Well, of course, you know, that was during a time when the Beatles became the, you know, the rage and everything. I couldn't say I was like a Beatles fan or anything. I kind of like, you know, the Kinks, kind of different alternative stuff. But I always, it was a time when, you know, that just became the rage and whatnot. It was just a great time.
So,
and everybody had a band, you know, everybody wanted to be in a band, that type of stuff.
Right. So that was becoming like basically popular culture, like kids were obsessed with music and
everything
bands
revolved around music.
And was this area in particular I mean,
and this area was it was great. We had a club, Teen Devu, which became a venue for all the local bands, and you know, Bruce, and of course it was a big area for that.
Where was that club?
In Tinton Fall, right? Not very far from here.
Right.
On the border of Shrewsbury and Tinton Fall.
So would that be like a place you'd go like...
Oh, yeah. Every like Friday every night, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, your life revolved around going to Teen Devu and listening to music.
Mm. And so would that be like kids from particular high schools that were going there or...
Yeah. I mean, mostly it was, Red Bank.
From all over.
Red Bank Catholic, Monmouth Regional, Shore Regional. So mostly around here,
Right.
Nobody went across the dreaded river to Middletown.
Right. Was, different clubs.
Different people.
And then what about Asbury? How did you venture down there?
Well, that was just where you went to ride the rides and stuff like that. Mm. It was a different time down there, too. I mean, it was a great place to go, run around like crazy.
Right.
Drive around the circuit, you know.
Yeah. So is that what you did? Just like kind of cruise, Teen Devu, cruise towns.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that, I'm not sure we ever told my parents what we were doing, but yeah, that's kind of stuff.
And what was Red Bank like at that time?
Oh, it was a great town. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a lot different than it is today. There were a lot of stores, you know, not so many restaurants and stuff, but it was a great place to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Very old, you know. Fashion.
Right. So we talked about on the other episode with Gabby that your parents ran an employment agency in Shrewsbury. What are your memories like of that?
Well, it was kind of weird. My dad worked, you know, he was always in human resources, and he retired, you know, in the, you know, kind of young. It was a big, he had to do something, so he decided to, you know, go in the employment business because that's the only thing he knew. So it was kind of a challenge because things were good, you know, really nice. And then my parents took a big choice, you know, a big chance and opened their own business. So there was a little time of uncertainty and stuff.
Right.
Then things just kind of evened out. But
so did you hang out there? Like, would that be
a place? I had to check in all the time on the way home from school.
Right.
You know, and I was an only child. So, you know, it was like, why did you go?
Check in with us, Billy.
Right?
So
you'd stop by there, and then would you do cruise down to Red Bank or what? Like,
yeah. Well, they were in Red Bank. Then they moved to Shrewsbury.
Okay.
So it was a little, you know. But, yeah. So I spent a lot of time in Red Bank.
So seeing that, like, one of my memories of, like, that place, I remember going there because, you know, Mom was working there. And we'd go sit there sometimes, and there were, like, typewriters. So you'd play with the typewriter and take the typing test, but I remember like seeing like that was like the first place I saw Forbes magazine, like was in the like little lobby there and reading that. And I just I remember thinking it was like kind of cool that these people had their own business. Like, did that ever attract you, like the idea of having your own business or being like an entrepreneur or something like that?
No, not really. Yeah, I guess yes and no. I mean, I kind of saw the downside because you always had to, you're the only one responsible, and you only got paid if you did something.
Right.
I prefer to work for somebody else. Yeah, I think about it all the time. Yeah, I'd like to have my own business, but it just never worked out that way.
Yeah.
I had to go get a job because I was a young guy with a family and stuff. I needed the security of a regular paycheck.
Yeah. So after like having a family and then going to like coming back from Vietnam, I mean, I guess, first of all, like, why did you enlist? And I know you're very proud of the Marines, so let's give you a shout out for being in the Marines. Why did you, like, out of high school, enlist in the Marines?
Well, that's an interesting story because your mother and I, we're going to go to the same college. And
where was
she's
that?
Giving me the evil eye here. But your grandma.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
My father got very upset when he found that out.
What was the college?
Fairleigh Dickens. My father-in-law always called it Fairleigh Ridiculous, but anyway. And then when he found out, he got very upset. And, we had to have a big family meeting with my parents and whatnot. So, I'd done one of those impulse things. I said, okay, fine, I won't do that.
Right.
I had hoped to go someplace else, but, didn't really work out that way, but so I ran off and enlisted in the service.
Right.
It wasn't the smartest thing. I tend to do that. I tend to impulsive.
Right.
And so I did. And I thought, okay, well, I'll give everybody a chance to take a breather, and I'll go away for a while, see how the dust settles.
Right.
And it just didn't work out that way. But fortunately. Otherwise, we wouldn't all be sitting here today.
So, did you? So, when you decided to go away for a while, did somehow Paris Island sound like exotic, like a exotic getaway, or did you really know what you were getting in for?
Well, if I was going to go in the service, it always was. If I was going to, there was only one service, and that was the Marine Corps that I would want to be in. Right. So it was kind of the thing to do if you're going to. We didn't have all these exotic, what do they call those guys? Today you have all these
recruiters,
special forces, crazy thing. Then that was the elite force. I wanted to be part of that.
So probably today you would join like the Space Force.
Yes.
Most likely.
No, today I would want to be like a Navy SEAL or something. That wasn't an option back then. But anyway, although I'd be terrified of underwater, I don't know if I could make it through that training.
Right. So what did you take away from the Corps that you...
Well, once a Marine, always a Marine.
Yeah.
I shine my shoes every day.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the United States Marine Corps because it's truly a relaxed and enjoyable experience to grow up the son of a Marine. So I salute the Corps and thank you.
Yeah, you do.
Should I call the VA? Do I get free counseling too?
You might, yeah. I'm still getting it.
I mean, I know one thing you take away is like... I walk in, I was at your house, like, we're going to watch some playoff football, like, I guess it was last week, and you're ironing, like, a flannel shirt to sit down and watch football in. I'm like, what are you doing? And you're like,
high and tight.
It came out of the laundry a little wrinkled. I mean, it's literally like a flannel. So I know you take away,
Walmart,
like, keeping your uniform tidy. What else did you learn in the Corps?
that's about it, you know, to be particular and to, you know, try and do my best.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Right. And what's it, we learned from Gabby what it was like to be home while a spouse is overseas. What's it like to be, like, in, you know, a foreign country in a war zone while your family's home?
Crazy, man. Yeah. You know, I should admit that I was, you know, after 1968, things were a little different over in Vietnam. I was getting kind of crazy over there. But it was a unique experience. It was kind of challenging because you wanted to, you know, get home.
Right.
But it was tough. It was. But at the same time, it was, you know, exciting time. I mean, things were changing so much in the Marine Corps, and that was a real challenge because the older guys that were in charge of us were, you know, real Marines.
Right.
And then, you know, like at night, you know, some nutty young Marine be walking around with a beetle wig on, you know, all kinds of crazy, you know, guys with Hawaiian shirts, you know, all that kind of stuff at night. So it was challenging for the real Marines, right. I like to say. But it was a strange time.
So sort of like apocalypse.
In the world, you know, it was a crazy time.
Apocalypse Now kind of thing?
What?
Apocalypse Now sort of.
Yeah, if you see, you know, you take bits and pieces from all those movies, right. and you get a sense of what it was really like. There's some crazy stuff went on. You know, yeah. I don't want your mother to get all crazy on me here, but it was a strange experience.
Right. So then you came back and you went to college. What was it like coming home at that time? Because there was obviously a diverse.
Yeah, it was a terrible experience because, you know, I wasn't that old, you know, and nobody wanted to associate with Vietnam veterans and stuff. And college was, you know, I was 2 years older than, you know, everybody, you know, else, and that made me, you know, different. And I was a veteran. And if I didn't have a veterans fraternity, and I always said that, I would have had a hard time in college, you know. I had to be with people that had understood what we had gone through and stuff because the regular population was very anti-war and stuff.
Like right.
That. So it was good.
Yeah. So you segue into banking around some point.
Yeah, there. I needed a job. I was going to go to school down in D.C. and the first thing we did was go open a bank account. And a guy said, "What are you going to work?" I said, "I don't know, you know." And he said, "Would you like to work at the bank?" And I said, "Sure, I guess."
Right.
And again, that's how I make decisions in life, you know. So I, you know, became a banker, although I took a brief stint with Marriott down there, but that got a little crazy. So I went back to banking, and that's how I got into banking. It was a safe job, you know, very kind of low key and stuff.
Right.
And it's been good, you know, it's been good.
So you were banking at, what was it, First Virginia Bank?
First Virginia
where you were working
Bank,
in Virginia.
Yeah, it was a great bank.
And then when you came back to Jersey, when you guys moved back to Jersey, did you already have a job lined up in New Jersey or were you just kind of coming back and then?
No, we were just moving back. And my dad knew a lot of people from the golf course. And so I ended up talking to different people that were in banking and ended up working at a local bank so that, you know, I could be closer to home, that type of stuff.
Mm. What was the first?
Because you kids were getting old. You know, we had a family, so, you know, it enabled me, working close to home enabled me to do things like coach your soccer team and stuff.
Once again, I'd like to thank the Marine Corps for raising that generation of coaches.
You know, as opposed to commuting, you know.
What was the bank you ended up working with when you first came back?
Well, it was called Monmouth County National Bank, but then very quickly it became First, you know, Fidelity, First Union, and all. And that was at the point where everything transitioned in banking. It used to have very small banks, and they all started to merge together and stuff. So
right.
It's 15 incarnations later. It's, you know, it's, what's it called today? I don't know. Wells Fargo.
Yeah. So how many banks would you estimate you worked for in New Jersey?
Well, I always tell people it's Bill from the bank. It's easier me to tell you it's just Bill from the bank than it is to say what banks I worked for. Right. Because of all the transitions in banking, you know, mergers, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, I've worked at 100 banks, but, probably just about five.
So that's another thing, like, as, like, all the banking changes, like, I mean, to me as a kid, you're like immune from all this crap. You know, you're like, oh, you know, right. you're working at Fidelity. I know that place. Yeah. And now you're working at whatever. But as a, when you're the person going through that and all these banks are merging, like, is it stressful? Like every time, like that's happening? Like, are you
yeah,
like,
it's kind of stressful, but you know,
but you make
yeah. it. It's stressful for the reason I just said, what bank are you with today?
Right.
You
know? But was
and
there
to get your customers to move along with you is sometimes a real challenge.
Right. You know? And was there always a fear of like, you know, we're the new people coming into this new bank and we're going to be gone?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. happened. You know, some mergers are nice and some are terrible.
Right.
Depending on the, you know, who's the merge, you know, the acquirer and who's the, you know, being acquired. But yeah, so it can be.
So, I mean, you've
just
been
trying to make the best out of it.
You've been in banking since the '70s.
Yeah.
And how's it changed since then?
Oh, it used to be a great business, a fun place to work and stuff. It's not anymore. It's a commodity. Mm. Hello, where are you taking my picture on your phone? but anyway, you know, today it's not very much fun.
Yeah. You took a. You briefly retired.
That's right.
And then got back into banking.
Well, as I tell everybody, yeah, I wasn't really prepared to retire fully. And so I talk to your mother about that all the time. And, you know, I got tired of her coming home every day and saying, so what did you do today?
So, I ironed my flannel shirt
yeah,
for the fifth
you know,
time.
I, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, I yeah. couldn't say I didn't do anything.
Right.
But, after you got all those projects done, you know, clean the attic, clean the basement, do this, do that. It there was a lot of time. So somebody I knew from a long time ago was working to kind of get a little bank back on its feet after its president died. So I went to work for him. And it's been interesting.
Right. So is retirement not all it was cracked up to be, or you just?
No, it's a challenge. You know, I think you'd like to keep busy somehow.
Right.
You know, well, what do I do? How do I stay relevant? Mm. That type of stuff. It's, you know, like some people transition very, you know, easily into that.
Right.
But, you know, a hard charger like me, I don't know. You know. Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's tough. But, yeah, just to have a place to go every day.
Yeah.
You know, interact with people and stuff.
Right. That's cool.
It was either that or go buy a dog, you know, and have somebody. And mom was having none of that,
yeah.
you know, right at the moment. But
you probably still should get
it. I don't want a dog.
Really? You have an interesting story that's like very, you know, becoming more and more common these days, right? Is you were adopted.
Oh God! Yeah,
like, yeah. Your parents are like, you know, your parents are my grandparents, as I always think of them. But you were adopted, and like, you found out recently, you know, more about your
my birth parents.
Yes. So
adopted parents, right. Birth parents. Yeah, that was well. It's always been an issue.
Well, why did you? Did you ever want to know more about your parents? Like. As you were growing up.
Sure, but, you know, you just kind of put it off.
And you're like...
Well, it wasn't easy, and you know, and today it's a lot easier to find that information. I probably never would have if you didn't buy that Ancestry.com that, you know...
I didn't buy it.
And remember, I put that away. I didn't, you know, I didn't really do anything with that. And you kept bugging me. Did you send in an Ancestry.com yet? Did you?
Maybe.
And so I finally, you know.
Well,
I,
let me ask you, like your parents were very open with the info.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like yeah. did you, as a, like when do you remember
they were
them?
They weren't, yeah. But,
when do you remember them telling you about that and like.
Well, I always, because I was 5 years old. I always knew that I was adopted.
All right.
I didn't know that I was adopted twice, given back once. Please take him back. but anyway, That was a kick in the pants. Don't get me laugh.
Luckily, but the Marine Corps was there to straighten that.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So your parents added the information, but you didn't want to know for a long time, or you just weren't interested?
No, it was
what?
Very hard to find out. It was tough until they opened up the adoption records.
Right.
Which, by the way, New York State has just opened their adoption.
Have they?
And even then, I didn't really do anything with that. But it was really Ancestry.com, because you get the stuff back and you say, well, who? And I guess that was a crazy experience, figuring all that out.
Right. So you submitted.
But then it worked out.
You submitted an Ancestry.com test, and what happened when the results came back?
Well, you know, you start putting names together and stuff. It wasn't hard to find my father, because that name I knew. And so it was easier to find that side of the family. My mother was a little different, because she was married a couple of times, her name shifted and everything. And it was just really a fluke how I found the actual person that was my birth mother.
So what happens as you're on you're on a website?
Yeah, to make you crazy.
And it starts showing you what people that are possible, like family matches?
Yeah,
or?
you start looking up the information of, you know, people that are familiar, and then it takes you places you can't imagine, you know,
right.
Different states and all, because my mother's from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So that throws you a curveball.
Right.
And
and I remember one time, like, you got a name that seemed like, oh, this is like.
Oh, yeah. When, you know, I caution everybody, you want to be careful who you reach out to, you know, because I have a cousin who assured me that my mother was this person. He had done the genealogy. So I shipped out an email to some guy in Nova Scotia, which I thought was a little weird.
But this is a cousin that you discovered through Ancestry.com,
yeah,
right?
On my
like
father's
someone
side.
That you
As
didn't
I said,
know.
That side was a little easier to come to grips with.
Right.
But he had done a lot of work. So he was sure that he was able to identify my mother. And so I went off in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you saw the similarities between that woman and my mother, it was so close. They were almost, they lived in almost the same town,
right,
in Virginia, had almost the same number of kids. They came from the same scenario where they were one of eight children, all this kind of stuff. So I thought that was with her, but it wasn't. And it took, you know, that person a while. He probably wanted to shoot himself or whatever, because he had a brother he didn't know about.
So what message did you send him originally?
Hi there. You may not know me, but we have the same mother, you know. And the guy's like, what? You know, some nut down in New Jersey says
right.
He's my brother.
Right.
So that didn't quite work out. Right. And then, as I said, I woke up in the middle of the night, just one little change in the spelling.
Mm.
And I went to my birth mother. I, you know, was able to say, there she is.
Right.
And it all played, and you just hit one thing, and it says, bam, you pick in to the computer's an amazing thing. I mean, you pick out a news article when my mother passed away mm-hmm. in 1969, and she lived in Keyport.
Right.
And then she was married to somebody with a different name, but it was my, you know, it was that woman. So mm-hmm. I knew, you know, it was close. It was that type of,
right.
You know, it kind of meshed. And then it all fell into place, and I found that I had, what, eight brothers and sisters.
So you go from being an only child.
Yeah, it's much better being an only child.
to one day you find out you have eight brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
What was that? Well, what's the experience like to find who your parents are? And in your situation, they were both deceased. So, I mean.
Right, so that was a little disappointing. It would have been nice. And, you know, you start seeing how your life just, you know, my father was up here. He lived right down, essentially down the street from where we live today.
Right.
Back and forth to George and whatnot. You find your cousins, you find your brothers and sisters. It's a lot to handle and digest.
Yeah.
I'm going through kind of a downtime right now with that, because it becomes overwhelming. If any of you are listening out there. But
so you mean downtime in terms of like you're taking a break from like the exploration?
Yeah.
Of it,
well, no, I know who everybody is. I've met a fair number of. Fortunately, a couple of my sisters live locally, so I've met them. I have a sister in Santa Fe who we've met. Now I have to, you know, there's brothers as far as Florida and Georgia and Virginia and stuff that pick up on it. And I do want to, you know, I do want to meet them. But,
right.
And they know about me now because we're on Facebook. You know, everybody's right. on that stuff. But it's a challenge. It yeah. really is.
So, I mean, are you glad you found out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I be? I am, but then you go through that whole, you know, how important is that?
Right.
You know? And, you know, does it upset other people's lives? You know, that type of stuff.
Right. I mean,
generally, I am pretty happy.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful child. I mean, my parents spoiled me. You know, you all know. I'm the lucky one. You know, I really am. My brothers and sisters had a much tougher time.
Right.
So, you know, I was very fortunate. So you want to feel, well, you know, you're blessed by that.
Right.
But, yeah, it would have been nice to know who you're, to have met your parents.
Right.
But how important is that? And, you know.
Well, sitting here with both of you, I would say it's extremely important to know your parents.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's more important to you and your sister than it is to, you know, I can.
So you could do, take it or leave knowing us?
Well, I don't want to say that, but honest, I love you all. but it, you know, it's a lot to digest.
All right.
Moving them right along.
Yeah. So what's the experience like when you first meet a sibling that you never knew about and you're like, you know.
I don't look anything like you.
Right.
No, it's a very strange experience. You know, it's like weird.
Right. I mean, this is like so common now that you can't even believe it. Like people,
can't tell how many families Ancestry.com must have screwed up right now. It's true. You what?
Right.
Who?
Right. But that's that's the crazy thing. It's not even like adopted children. It's families that
it's
are together.
Families, and they find out there's you know.
Right,
indiscretion out there that nobody wanted right. to own up to, or something. Right. But
yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild. All right, so you do plan to meet other siblings that you haven't met yet.
Yeah, I do.
That's cool. What's your one thing? Two things. We talked about my grades before, like as a kid. So, like, two things I think of with you. And me in particular is one is like music. Like I inherited music from both of you, but I think you had a much larger record collection. So I grew up with like your childhood music that I felt like I went through like almost album by album as if they were being released. So I remember.
Could I get those albums back, Evan, please?
They're probably in your attic with my stuff.
Yeah.
But like.
Could you get your stuff out of my attic?
So I remember like all the 60s music, Beatles, Kinks, Who, Springsteen. Actually, let's talk about Springsteen. In college, we went to see Springsteen and Crazy Horse.
Yeah, I went to York College, so that's actually the first concert that Bruce played with the E Street Band was at York College. So, and I don't know where the picture is, but I actually have a picture. We had a picture, and we published it in the school paper of Evan dancing up on the stage with Bruce. Evan was, I don't know, 2 years old, 3 years old. I wish I had that. I don't know where it is. We may still have it someplace. But
so you think it was in the school paper?
I know.
It was. So we can come
back.
I was
the news editor. I already went down there trying to find it.
Maybe get it Works archives.
Yeah.
I mean, it obviously had a huge impact on Bruce because many years later he named his first son Evan.
Obviously.
So. So I got that going for me, which is nice. All right. So you had a love of music, and I like also attached to the Kinks, and the Kinks are like a band we've seen. So I saw, like, by the time I was 8, I remember seeing Springsteen like a handful of times, like going to concerts with you and mom and your friends, and we went to see the Kinks a bunch of times. Even recently we saw Dave Davies in Red Bank again.
Right.
So, you know, I definitely inherited music from you. I do remember that time you were going to Jersey. I think you were going back maybe looking at houses. We lived in Virginia. And you brought me the Beatles Live at the Hollywood Bowl album. And I remember taking that to Show and Tell. Like, that's the gift you brought back.
Ew.
That was a good one. So I have all those albums and things, which is cool. You know, I definitely had a love of music from an early age. because of all that stuff. And then the other thing, so we were talking about how parents are supportive, right? And like with mom also, college and high school, and Gabby said this before, like if I'm totally honest, you know, I was a kid that could skate through without doing any work.
Right.
I wasn't quite bright enough to skate through and get good grades. Like I could probably get okay grades, but as you get older and older and older, like obviously the stuff you can get away with in grammar school, you can't quite do it in high school, right? So you're still doing no work or whatever. So you could probably still get good grades. You get to college and you're trying to get through and get work. Now suddenly like your BS is catching up with you and your grades aren't so good, right? Mm-hmm. So college, I've got 100% of your money out of college. Every last time I enjoyed that experience. My grades were like definitely a different story. You know what I'm saying? But I, for whatever reason, you know, I don't know if you wanted me to go to law school, you both, or I wanted to go to law school, or some weird combination of the two. But what I do remember is you spent hours and hours and hours and countless hours of figuring out there's got to be a law school in this country that would take this effing kid with like a 2-point whatever, but really good LSATs. Right. So you, I think, worked tirelessly to find a place that would accept me into law school. And we, you know, we eventually took a drive down to Georgia to see John Marshall Law School in Atlanta.
Right. Okay.
You don't remember finding that school?
No, I do.
I mean, yeah. Do you remember on our drive urinating
so desperate
on the side of the road?
Ended up at John Marshall, which were, you know, it worked out fine.
Right. So, I mean, ultimately, like, I did not pursue the legal career the first time through law school. You know, I took a different path. But, I mean, what's the – what would you say to the parents out there in terms of, like, helping kids out and supporting and, you know –
send them to technical school.
I mean, yeah, I guess the –
I think
– I guess the
was
point –
kind of a unique experience, like, ending up down in – it worked out. Your friend ended up, you know, he got back up to Connecticut and went to school up there. So, you know, I don't think it was bad. You know, it just was kind of a zigzaggy course to get there.
Presley's yawning. I mean, I guess the whole point of that story and like having you both on the 100th episode is like I really appreciate like everything you've always done for me in my life.
Well, you didn't have to bring us in here to tell us that, Evan. You could have told us it all.
Well, that goes back to that Saturday Night Live skit where you don't talk about things until you put a podcast mic in front of your face. You know.
Now, you ask your mother about all this crazy stuff, and here is a good example. If you want to know, your mother is very straight and all this kind of stuff, and I kind of – she talked a lot about there's no rules or anything. So – I'm sitting here and I'm looking up at Death Wish Coffee. And this will give you a kind of a, what kind of parent I was. Your mother wanted to go see On Golden Pond. Okay. So I said, I don't want to see On Golden Pond. I want to see Death Wish with Charles Bronson. So we talked to him. And so
I do recall seeing that movie with you
too. It's not a bad movie. It's not a great – Evan was maybe 8 years old. I said, it's not a bad movie, honest. You know, blah, blah, blah. So the decision was made that we would split and that your sister and your mother would go see On Golden Pond, you and I. I realized at probably 2 minutes into the movie that I had made a terrible mistake. And, you know, despite the fact you were sitting there eating the popcorn, having a great time, this was the most inappropriate movie that I could probably have taken an 8-year-old child to. But again, that's, you know, kind of sums up my parenting skills.
Well, that's the theme we touched on in episode
I noticed you didn't ask me all those questions you asked your mother about parenting.
No, anyway. We did touch on, like, we understand, like, I remember being it's funny because you guys are obviously not that much older than me, and like so I was probably 10-ish when you were turning 30, right? And I remember your 30th birthday, and I remember like my aunt and uncle and all these people coming over our house, and there's a big sign like "Happy 30th birthday." I remember how effing old I thought 30 was. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my god, my dad's ancient, man. You know. But so like I look back on it, and I'm like, I didn't even have a kid when I was 30. So how the hell could you possibly know what you're doing with kids when you're
we
that
didn't.
Age?
I mean, we had absolutely no clue. We talked briefly about car seats. I don't know what a car seat is. I can remember, you know, sit down. You know, kids bouncing around, you jam on the brakes, your two-year-old comes flying up into the front of the car, all that type of stuff. But I think everybody did that, but I don't remember anybody having really a car seat. But you just kind of go with the flow. I mean, you know.
So I think your statute of limitations is up, too, because we did briefly mention this in the other episode. Did you once lose a child, like fall out of your car?
Yes.
And how'd that happen? What happened exactly?
I had an old Volkswagen, and we were out collecting papers for the Cub Scouts or something. I mean, you were all the way in the back, and your sister had this habit. She was just a – remember, Erin was a midget until she was about 20 years old. Right. And she used to sit on the armrest of the car with her hand out the thing. And the door, you know, was not latched. And we're on a major highway in Virginia, and we're going like this, and then, okay, go. And I stepped on it, and I went, and I'm driving down the road, and you screamed out, "Dad, Erin fell out of the car." And I'm like, "Shut up." You know, and, "No, really, Erin fell out of the car." And I looked over, and she wasn't there, and the door's open and everything. So we jammed on the brakes, we put it in reverse, and we went back and picked her up, got her in the car, and shh, don't tell Mom. Yeah. And, of course, that was the first thing you did.
Did you stitch her up yourself?
No. Miraculously, she just had a few scrapes.
A couple of road rats.
She fell off, you know, like it was a dirt area or something, so she wasn't too badly injured.
Right.
But, yeah, that kind of stuff happened numerous times, more than I'd like to admit. But yeah.
Listen,
but I think that happens to everybody.
I think every family could say, yeah, it's a miracle we all came out pretty much unscathed, exactly. Right? Like, I mean, that's a, you know, it's a fair point. But I do appreciate you both coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for, you know, believing in me when few others did.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
You got anything you want to talk about your plans? We didn't catch up with your recreational or non-work activities. What do you like to do in your spare time, and what do you look forward to in retirement part two?
I don't know. I don't know. Your mother and I have been talking about that a lot. I don't know what we're going to do.
Think we can make this Key West thing happen?
I can do nothing with the, as everybody, including my employers, know. I can do nothing with the best of them.
Yeah. Okay.
I can keep myself busy, but I don't know what retirement is. You know, you start looking down, all of a sudden the runway is, you know, coming, you know, the end of the runway is coming closer. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
No golf in your future or anything like that?
I like to golf, but, you know, it's not something, occasional game is fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to golf every day or anything like that. Yeah. I honestly don't know what I'm going to do.
All right, cool. I appreciate you coming in.
Yes, you said that before.
If you need a pack of matches or matches? You just want to talk to Billy, head out and see him at Brunswick Bank and Trust.
We do have matches.
I did a closing out there a couple of years ago, and like in the lobby they had like matches, and I was like, this is fantastic. I haven't seen a bank with matches in a long
Nobody
time.
Nobody has.
Right, yeah. That's pretty sweet. So if you need your matches or you just want to catch up and, you know, talk about ironing flannel, if you need some tips on that, come out and see Billy at Brunswick Bank and Trust. Once again, my name is Evan Balmer. This has been a fantastic journey, and I'm glad you both came in for our 100th episode. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.